Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I tell you, today is another blessed day. And I pray that your day has been just as blessed as God has purposed it to be for you. Well, we are back in studio to continue with our teaching series, Righteousness by Grace, Not by Works. And my guest, Minister Harold Copeland, and I will continue to unpack the scriptures in this beautiful series, being part two. And we are going to continue to look at righteousness by grace. Righteousness by grace. And on last week, when we laid out this wonderful teaching series, Righteousness by Grace, Not by Works, I indicated in the beginning to not believe the hype. And what I meant by that was, the world can teach us or show us how righteousness comes, or a different way that righteousness may come by. And I just wanted to understand, help you to understand that righteousness only comes by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is our life. So Minister Harold Copeland and I will continue in this series. So Brother Harold, if you would go ahead, and we'll pick back up where we left off on last week with this wonderful series, Righteousness by Grace, Not by Works.
Well, praise the Lord. Hello, everyone. I am Minister Harold Copeland. And along with Minister Smith, we will be your teachers. And I always like to start out by welcoming everybody to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. And let you know that it's always an honor to be chosen by God to fellowship with you. And as was said, we are going to continue our series on righteousness by faith and not by works. And we're going to dive right on into the teaching, starting out by reading our launch pad scripture, Romans chapter number 3, verses 21 to 23. And after the scripture is read, our launch pad scripture, we're going to pull out some spiritual realities and spiritual truth that was released through the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit in last week's teaching, to open up the door so we can enter into this week's teaching. So, Minister Smith, would you please read our launch pad scripture for us?
Romans 3, and we're going to read, start at verse 21 and read through 23. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And would you read 24 for us, please?
And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Praise God. Verse 21 says, but now. Amen. And this beautiful gift of righteousness, God is offering it to us right now. God has readily made this gift available for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till next week or next month. Right now, the righteousness is available, and we can receive it by faith because we don't have to work this righteousness out. And we must say that we would never be able to work this righteousness out. And if we had to work it out of ourselves, we would never have a right standing in the presence of God. But he said, but now, the righteousness of God, and that's the righteousness God is talking about. In other words, it's a righteousness that is equal to God's righteousness. Not a righteousness a little lower than God's righteousness. And not a righteousness that can't stand in the presence of God's righteousness. But this is a righteousness that God gives us that is equal to his righteousness. And the good thing about it, it's without the law. And what that means is with us not trying to keep the law to perform in God's presence. And this word is taking the church out of a performance-based relationship with God. Stating that God relates to us according to how we perform. And that's not true. For this righteousness that we're talking about, the scripture goes on to say that it was witnessed by the law. The law pointed to another way. Because within itself, the law wasn't the way. To achieve a righteousness by the law, we had to keep the whole law. And the word of God tells us that none of us could keep the whole law. Not me, not you, not anybody else. And the word of God also say that if we break one of the law, it's just like we broke them all. So the law wasn't the way, but the law pointed to another way. And he even talks about the prophets of the old in verse 21. He said the prophets of the old prophesied concerning this righteousness. And we hear King David says that blessed be those New Testament believers who God is not imputing their sins against them. And if we'll find out later on in the teaching that God is not imputing us, our sins against us, because once we believe, he imputed a righteousness, his righteousness, a righteousness equal to him, he imputed on the inside of our spirit, man. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, and as I say, when we see that, that's always saying a righteousness equal to God. A righteousness that is one with God. And then he shows us how we get it, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. I like the way he said that. By faith of Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say faith in Jesus Christ, and faith in Jesus Christ is good. But let's take it to the higher level. Faith of Jesus Christ. And what that means is by the same faith Jesus Christ used when he walked in his earthly ministry, he's saying that God gives us that same faith. The same faith Jesus used is the faith that we have. And that faith comes through the Spirit of the living God. And we'll show you. Let's read Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22.
Galatians 5,
22. And it reads this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against
Amen.
Such things, there is no law.
Amen. Amen. And that's the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that we have received Holy Spirit. And if we have received the Holy Spirit, there will be a manifestation of fruit to show that we have received Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells us that you will know them by their fruit. And those that carry the Spirit of the living God, those that have the Spirit of the living God, manifest these fruits. And these fruit are given to us. These are not our fruit, but these are fruit that God gives us because we carry His Spirit. And it is love, and that's the agape, unconditional love. And that's the joy unspeakable, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And that's the faith that was given to us when we received Holy Spirit. And that's the faith of Jesus Christ. Meaning, that's the same faith that Jesus used when he walked in his earthly ministry. Hallelujah. That's how much God loves us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And watch this. He say, unto all. So this gift, this righteousness, this faith, this grace is available to everyone. All leaves nobody out. That's every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every race, every creed, every tribe, every nation. Amen. But there is a method to receive it. It doesn't automatically come. The righteousness, the salvation, the gift doesn't automatically come to us because the scripture tells us, unto all, upon all them that believe. So whoever believes can receive it. It's offered to everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every race, creed, every tribe, every nation. But we have to believe in our hearts. And we always tell you when we see the word believe that it always, New Testament believing, always point to Jesus Christ and what he has already. Key word. Always point to Jesus Christ and what he has already done for us. In other words, what he has already made readily available for us to receive and walk in. And this righteousness by faith and not by words is one of the marvelous gifts that God is offering right now. And then he said, for there is no difference. So he's talking about every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every race, every creed, every color, every nation. He said there is no difference. We all sin. Amen. I sin. You sin. Everybody sin. And we come short of the glory of God. And because we fall short, we need some help. We need help. Because we can't stay away from the glory of God. We have to be connected to the glory of God to live. And we can't do it ourselves because we all sin and fall short. So God has made it readily available that we stand righteous in his presence by giving us that righteousness equal to him. And we receive it by the faith of Jesus Christ, the same faith that Jesus used when he walked in the earth realm in his earthly ministry. And 24 told us, being justified. Justified is a beautiful word. And we just need to just sit down and just practice justified. Because righteousness, this righteousness that equal to God, justifies us in the presence of God. And the beauty of justification, being justified, is that we stand in the presence of God just as if we have never committed not one sin. And I know that's a miracle in my life, and I'm sure you know that's a miracle in your life, because I know I have sinned. But because of the power of the blood of Jesus, they've been washed from the inside out, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus justifies me as righteous and gives me the gift of righteousness, and I stand in the presence of God. You stand in the presence of God just as if you have never sinned. That's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. And let's bring another beautiful scripture in, because we can't walk into the righteousness of God. We can't walk into a righteousness equal to God. We can't walk into justification, into grace, into faith, unless we bring Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9 into the teaching. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9.
Ephesians 2, starting at 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Beautiful. Beautiful word. And verse 8 says, for by grace, unmerited favor. Favor we didn't earn. Favor we couldn't earn. And favor we would have never been able to earn. Are you saved? And that save is receiving salvation. And we released a beautiful definition of that salvation. Deliverance by being redeemed from the power of sin and the penalty that come with it. Glory to God. So we are delivered because we've been redeemed from the power of sin and the penalties that come with it. And it's all through faith. And notice what we said about New Testament faith. Always point to Jesus Christ and what he has already, I said again, already done for us. So if Jesus doing, that's why the scripture had to go ahead and say, and that's not of yourself, so it's not our doing. And then the scripture goes on to say that it's a gift. Ah, it's a free gift. God hands us, once we believe, God hands that gift into our hearts, and we open our heart and just receive it. We don't have to perform in his presence. We don't have to be condemned if we made a mistake. Because Romans chapter number 8, verse 1 tells us, therefore now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And the word is those that have received the righteousness that is equal to God. There is no condemnation. So God hands over that free gift into our hearts, and we open up our hearts, and we receive that gift. And verse 9 say, not of works. Amen. This is not a work mentality gospel. This is not a performance-based gospel, because none of us in and of ourselves can do enough righteous work that we can earn a righteousness that equals the righteousness of God. And no one of us can perform in the presence of God in our doing that God will look at us and say, I'm pleased, well done, you have pleased me, you have earned my righteousness. No, that's if we earn it, then that's a payment, that's not a gift. A gift is freely given and freely received. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's a reoccurring theme, and it has to be, because we have to get the word on the inside of us. The word The word of God is a knowing word. For Jesus tells us the truth you know. And we explain that every time we see the word know in the word of God, it's not an intellectual knowing. And that's why we have to bring it into the realm of faith. Because faith is a spiritual intimate knowing. And the Bible tells us, we use the scripture often, faith comes by hearing. And it's not faith comes by we have heard something. Or faith comes by we heard it once or we heard it twice. No, faith comes by hearing. And you say, well preacher, how many times should I hear it? Well, you hear it until you become one with it. Amen. We hear it until we know it, not intellectually, but we know it by having an intimate relationship with the revelation. And if it's God, if it's Jesus, or if it's the Holy Spirit, we keep hearing them until we have an intimate relationship with God in our hearts, an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit in our hearts, an intimate relationship with Jesus in our heart. Amen. We speak this word day and night. We meditate on this word day and night. We do not let it depart from our eyes. We do not let it depart from our ears. Amen. Because we come one with this word. This word is our very life. Thank you, Lord. So a reoccurring theme is the righteousness of God doesn't come by works. And we have to hear that. The righteousness of God doesn't come by us trying and trying and trying. The righteousness of God don't come by us earning it. The righteousness of God don't come to us by us trying to achieve it. Attempting to achieve the righteousness. The righteousness of God is, just as we entitled this series, it's come through faith. Dependence. Somebody say dependence. Dependence. You know, if I was to stand up and lean against the wall, the key word is lean, I lean against the wall. The only reason I won't fall is because I'm dependent on the wall to hold me up. That's the only reason. It's nothing I've done. It's the wall. It's the strength of the wall that's holding me. I'm in a leaning position. Without the wall, I would fall. But because I'm dependent and leaning on the wall is holding me up. It's the same way with Jesus. Since we are saved, then we have the righteousness of God. The only reason we are not unrighteousness, because we are totally dependent and leaning on Jesus Christ for our righteousness. That's the only reason we're not unrighteous, because we believe. And once we believe, that put us in a position to totally lean and depend on Jesus for our righteousness, which he does willingly with his loving heart, gives us through the faith that he has given us also. And God used this leaning independent on him for righteousness and not on a performance-based method. Let's go to Genesis, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 15, and we're going to read the first six verses, verses 1 through 6.
Genesis 15, verse 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Amen. And it didn't say Abraham received by doing, or he earned it and God accredited it to him. He achieved, but Abraham just believed. Now, since Abraham belief is an Old Testament belief and Jesus Christ wasn't manifested in the flesh yet, Abraham believed pointed directly to the word of God. And it was accredited to him as righteous. Let's read Romans chapter number 4. The book of Romans, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 8.
Romans 4. Verses 1 through 8. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness.
Amen. So Abraham, our Jewish father, he was saved, accredited as righteous through his faith. If he done it through works and God would have gave him righteousness, then that would have been a righteousness that he earned. And as her reading said, an obligation and not by grace. But since Abraham's righteousness was accredited to him by his belief, which Old Testament belief point to what God done for Abraham, it's his belief that made him righteous. So Abraham can't boast on himself because he did nothing to earn his righteousness, and he could have done nothing to earn his righteousness, and he never would have been able to do enough to earn his righteousness. He received it as a gift from God. So if there are any boasting, all the boasting goes to God. And Paul even says in the New Testament that if I boast on anything, I boast on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. So Abraham believed. Old Testament belief pointed to God. And then righteousness was, one word was accredited. King James say imputed. And imputed is that an accounting term, and it's according to as if you have a business and you're dealing with a lot of companies and organizations, and they want to relate with you, deal with you, be part of your team, and they start blessing you with finances, and they take finances and they impute it into your account. Now, it's nothing that you earned. You didn't earn that. They just imputed it into your account. You didn't do anything to achieve it. You didn't do anything to receive it. It was just imputed. Now, it was imputed into your account. So since it's your account, it was imputed. It's your money. It's accredited to you. It's your money. But you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. But it's yours. It's a gift. And it's the same way with our righteousness. Righteousness, when we believe, is imputed into our account. It's imputed into our account as righteousness. So the righteousness is imputed into our hearts. Because we believe. Not because we're doing, or we did, or we earned, but it's just through believing. God imputes it into us. Because we believe in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And since he imputed it into our account, it becomes our righteousness that God has given us by a gift. And it's the righteousness that is equal to God himself. Hallelujah. And we have right standing with our God. Bring that beautiful word in there. We are justified. Amen. We stand in the presence of God just as if we have never committed a sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this righteousness that Abraham received, we go back to Abraham. He received this righteousness, but he didn't receive it for just himself. He received it as an example for us. Mm-hmm. Abraham was showing us that all men, look at that word, all, that don't leave nobody out. And it's mankind, so it's not just to the male gender. Man, woman, boy, girl, every color, every creed, every nation, every tribe, all mankind are declared righteous, declared. The Bible says just declare a thing and it shall come to pass. It's declared righteous through his faith, New Testament faith, always point to what Jesus Christ has already done for us in Jesus Christ. So Abraham was our example. Amen. In the same way Abraham received his righteousness through believing, through faith, is the same way we receive the righteousness that God has for us that's equal to him right now by faith of Jesus Christ. That's the same faith that Jesus used when he walked in earth in his earth ministry. Let us read Romans chapter number 5, verse 17.
Romans 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?
Praise God. So, we did not become a sinner. We did not become, you know, sinning is falling short of the glory of God. And we didn't fall short of the glory of God when we committed our first sin. This word is telling us that by one man offense, he's talking about Adam. When Adam sin and was disobedient against God, death came in. And the only thing death is being separated from God. He's not talking about a physical death, talking about a spiritual death, a spiritual separation from God. And that death reigned by one. That means it came upon everybody. The same time Adam received that spiritual death, everybody received that spiritual death, all mankind, because every mankind that came out of a woman's womb in the earth realm was in Adam's loins when Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned and was disobedient, all mankind in his loins sin with him and was disobedient with him. That all sin. And you know, that may sound bad to say, well, I'm guilty of sin because of another man's sin. Well, I tell you what, that do sound kind of bad, but on the other side of it, there's a greater grace. And the word of God say much more. And what he's saying is there's something better. Amen. There's something better. Because he's saying that which received the abundance of grace, amen, the abundance of grace, that's Jesus Christ, and he's given that to us. And it's the gift of righteousness, amen. This one man is giving us a gift of righteousness because of the righteousness he walked out in the presence of our Heavenly Father. He walked it out. Jesus walked this walk out, this righteousness out. Amen. But he didn't walk it out for himself. He walked it out for us. We didn't walk it out. Jesus walked this walk of righteousness out. But he gave it to us. Just like Adam sinned, you know, and we look at that side and say, oh, that's how. And his sin came to us. The one man sinned and was disobedient. And his sin came to us. But the word of God said, much more. He said, but there's some great on the other side. God didn't leave us in that sinful state. Because much more something happened on the other side, and something greater happened. A righteousness, amen, a gift, a grace, and he called it abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness reign in us because we believe. And so once we believe, we receive the abundance of grace. We receive the righteousness that is equal to God, amen, and that supersedes that sin nature that Adam gave us. And it turns into the divine teeter-totter, amen, if you remember the divine teeter-totter. You know, there's a world of teeter-totter, up one day, down one day, up one day, down one day, up one day, where there is no advancing in our Christian walk. But now because of the righteousness of God and the gift of that righteousness that we have received for believing in Jesus Christ, the divine teeter-totter is that the righteousness is always up and it never goes down. And that sin nature, which is unrighteous, is the downside, and it never can come up. If anything, it keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground. And the high side, which is the spiritual side, the righteous side, that gift that God has given us, it keeps going higher and 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 higher. And there is no limitations on how high we can go in our God. And there is no limitations on how low we can take that old sinful, evil nature into the ground. But God says that the author of that nature, that our heel shall bruise his head. Amen. I mean, we should step on the devil's head and just step his head deeper and deeper into the ground. Amen. And we rise up and praise and give God all the glory and give him all the honor and all the praise. Now God is offering us a gift of righteousness. Amen. I'm getting mine. I have to get it every day. Amen, because I can't do it on my own. Amen. A gift of right standing before him. Amen. You know, that's just the truth of the word of God. That's not pride to say I stand righteous in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God just as if I have committed not one sin. I stand in the presence of God justified. That's just truth of the word of God. Amen. That's just somebody that heard the gospel and got an ear to hear it and got that word down in their know and became one with that word, and that word became one with them. That's a word of freedom, because Jesus said the truth that you know will set you free, the truth that you get in you, the truth that you put in your knower, the truth that you know that you know that you know that you know that that's the word that God has placed in you. You know you came one with that word. You know you walk with that word. Why? Because I heard it, and 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 we heard it, and we heard it, and we heard it, and what happened? It turned to faith. And New Testament faith always pointing to Jesus Christ and what he has already done for us. Now, a gift does cause something. It does. A gift does. But a gift does not cost the person who receiving the gift anything. Amen. If I was to give you a gift and ask you to pay for it, it ceased to be a gift. It ceased. We made some type of a business transaction. That's what that turns into. Amen. It's not a gift. But a gift calls the giver something, and God is the giver of the gift, and it calls God everything that we can receive the gift, the free gift of salvation. God paid the ultimate price to give us this great, wonderful, awesome gift. And it cost him everything that he had to give. God made this righteousness available to us. Amen. We make a person say, to me. Somebody say, to me. Amen. Made available to me as a gift. This beautiful gift of righteousness. It's an acquittal. We've been acquitted. Amen. The devil cannot point his accuser finger at us because we've been acquitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we stand right in the presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And what they call this, the theologians, I like to bring the theologian teachers in here. And the theologian called this the great change. And what they call it, it's the greatest change that ever happened since the creation of the world. And what it is Jesus Christ made an exchange. He took our unrighteousness and brought it upon himself. And he gave us his righteousness in return. I say that again. He took our unrighteousness and brought it upon himself and gave us his righteousness in return. And this is the gift of righteousness that doesn't cost us anything, but it costs God everything. The very life of his dear son, dying on the cross for all of the sins of the world, his death shedding his precious blood, satisfying the heart of a holy God, settling the sin issue forever. God is no longer sin conscious. God is righteous conscience. God sees us as righteous because he sees us through the precious shed blood of his dear son. And whosoever believes and are saved, God sees them through the precious shed blood of his dear son, therefore making us righteous in his eyesight. And here goes that beautiful word. This justifies us. And we stand in the presence of God. See, I know I'm justified, and that's why I say it. I release it in the atmosphere to every devil and every demon and every principality and every power that's listening. I let them know that I know that I know that I know that I know who I am in Christ. I'm justified. I stand in God's presence just as if I never commit not one sin. And I know, we know, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we know that God is pleased with us. God is not mad at us. We are the apple of God's eye. We are beautiful and wonderfully made. We are God's beloved. And God wants to use us to do works for his kingdom. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I think this is a beautiful opportunity
that you have planted for us to just rest right here, to rest right here and just allow with what Minister Harold has saturated, let it, just allow it to saturate your heart. And for those who may not know Jesus Christ for themselves, who wants an intimate relationship with the Savior, then we encourage you to do this right now. Today is the day that you would bow your head and humble your heart, that you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't let this day go by, this hour to go by, that you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We just encourage you to do this right now. And Brother Harold, if you will just allow me to pray a prayer of salvation, and before we finish with the remaining of our broadcast today, that someone would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And
amen.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. So, brothers and sisters, if you would partner with me in prayer and lift up that person that you may have been praying for all week, and as you pray and intercede for them, that God would do an amazing thing in their life, and that they would turn from the things that keep them in bondage, and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now hear it out, my words, but your heart. So you repeat after me, but give him your heart wholeheartedly, that you would receive the gift of salvation. So let's go to the Lord. Father God, I am a sinner. You created me and fashioned me in the womb of my mother. Thank you for life, Lord. I come to you right now with all sincerity in my heart, as humble as I know how, asking that you please enter in my heart. I surrender my life to you. Lord, as I listen to this message today, I come to you as humble as I know how, with bended knee and bowed head, asking that you would clean me up on the inside, that I would be the type of person you want me to be. Lord, here I am, saying I trust you, I believe you are my Savior, and I trust you by faith because you are what I need, who I need. Thank you, Lord, for giving me you as I surrender myself to you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I trust you, Lord Jesus, and I believe with my whole heart that you are my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And for those who have accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are excited that you have chose to come into the ark of salvation. And you have chosen to be in the family of God as a believer in Christ Jesus. Now, Brother Harold and I encourage you. We encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and that you would seek out a small group discipleship class or Sunday school class in that church,
that you would be discipled so that you can grow and go in grace. And that this is our heart for you, to grow and go in grace. That's the purpose of this broadcast, that you would continue to grow and that you would continue to go and tell somebody about the good news and share your testimony, that they would know that you are a Christ follower. Amen. So, Brother Harold, we'll go ahead and finish. We've got about 5 minutes more to our broadcast before we have to bring this particular part to an end, and then we can pick back up on this series, Righteousness by Grace and Grace and Not by Works.
Amen. And the receiving of the prayer of salvation tonight just flows right with the teaching of righteousness by faith and not by works. Righteousness given by grace, and that's what you all received, and it just flows right with the teaching. Now you have a right relationship with God. Amen. You don't have to wait, because it's now. God made it available now. He wanted you to receive now. It's all about receiving his righteousness. And it comes through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And it makes you righteous in the eyesight of God. So we are all righteous in the eyesight of God. And we put our faith, and we said New Testament faith always points to Jesus Christ and what he has already done for us. Oh, my favorite word. And now it's your favorite word, because you say justification. Amen. And I keep releasing the truth of the word of God into the atmosphere to let the enemy know that I don't have an identity crisis. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know what God has done for me by faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we stand justified in the eyesight of God right now, standing in his presence just as if we have never committed not one sin. God is pleased with us. God is not mad with us. We are the apple of his eye. We are beautiful. We are wonderfully made in his presence. We are God beloved. And God has a plan for us. And that's not a plan of evil, but it's a plan of peace, and there's a perfected end to it. We are under the umbrella of God. We are under God's protection. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we have received the gift of God that he has given us. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I tell you, this is a good resting spot for us to pick up on next week. But it's so rich and so encouraging to know that God has this planned out for us well before we were even fashioned in the wombs of our mother. And I tell you, I thank God for that. I am just so blessed by knowing what the word confirms and secures for us, that we do not have to be worried about anything because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this brings us to the end of today's broadcast. But we will continue as long as Brother Harold has a word from the Lord to plant and deposit in our hearts, that we will continue to grow. But always remember this,
that God's word will always, always remain, because he said the grass wither and the flowers they fade, and we see that from season to season, but God's word will remain forever. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast, and also just being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to keep him as the apple of your eye. Praise the Lord, and God bless.